Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today, if you haven't heard her before, you'll want to again, the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear, Reverend Andriette Earle. Welcome, darling. I just want to tell you that I love to have people on who uplift and inspire and encourage and empower me. So I know they uplift and inspire and encourage and empower you. And
I love you, sweetheart. Thank you. I do apologize, but your guest did drop, and we did just get them back. So we do have your guest with you and waiting.
Okay. Bring on. Okay. I want to say that it's important to me to have people on who not only talk their talk, but they walk their walk. In other words, they are living lives of miracles. They are happy and vibrant and joyous and free. And
I think we're good to go now.
Okay. Reverend Andriette?
Yes.
Hi, my darling.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great.
I know you are.
And
I was just saying that it's important to me to not only have people on who are uplifting and inspiring and empowering and exalting in their message, but also as an example of that message. In other words, people that are shining and sharing and giving their best gifts and are happy and joyous and exuberant and and
I pray that that's the case for me.
Yeah.
It certainly is my intention.
It is not only your intention, it is obvious in everything you are, think, feel, say, have, and do. There's great integrity of being there. And it's felt and known.
Thank you. I'm
honored. You.
I really am. I feel, you know, I was raised at a time and in a community that where often it was said to those to whom, and it's from scripture as well, that those to whom much is given, much is expected. And so anytime we're consciously aware of the gifts that we have, and I know I have many, I know that there is much expected of me. And so I guess I'm fortunate to be raised to know that. So the stepping forward or this being pushed out or however it unfolds, that's the way my life is right now. So I'm grateful that you invited me, Iris. Thank you.
Oh, I'm grateful to have you. And I want to say a little bit more about that is that I've pretty much always felt my relationship with God was, geez, you've given me so much. How can I earn it? How can I possibly deserve this? How can I earn my wings? What can I give to balance this out? I have truly felt that way. And it's just such a good position to take, isn't it?
Well, kind of. And I say kind of because there's no, it's by right of birth, by right of being a spirit, that the presence of God is. So there's nothing that we can ever do that makes us worthy or that, or makes us unworthy for that matter. So what I love is the energy, the intention. I can feel your heart in that. My concern as a teacher would simply be that there's any sense of the word grace.
And
means that it's unearned,
means
unmerited.
Yeah.
And that's where we live.
I hear you. I hear you. And that has also been a a stumbling block for me, you know, that people would actually say to me, Iris, girl, you earned it already. If you had to earn it, you earned it already. It is yours.
Yeah.
And we really do earn it by our consciousness.
Mm.
You know, by our acceptance of it.
Mm.
And that has been a big lesson. I'm not disagreeing with you. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I do. I hear you.
It's been
and I'm only saying we disagree, by the way.
What?
I said, I hear you. That you're not disagreeing, and I was saying I'm all right if we do disagree.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
I just want you to know I am speaking of this as of observing something I've needed to master.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Well, let's get right into this subject. I know you've just opened the new... You've just established a new place of worship that you are the founder of, the Heart and Soul Center in Oakland.
That's right. It's the Heart and Soul Center of Light.
The Heart and Soul Center of Light.
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes. It's an amazing time in my life to just, I feel like, you know, I'm right out of that little prose that talks about being called to the edge.
You
know, come to the edge. And they came and she pushed them. You know, I feel like I came to the edge and I was pushed. And I'm so, so grateful. Sometimes I feel like I'm still in free fall and other times I feel like I'm in that moment of exhilaration, and I know I'm being held.
Yeah.
You know, like just swung in the air, but sometimes it feels like free fall too, you know? And it's this combination because this is an amazing thing to do. Or
yes,
to be a part of, because I know I'm not doing it.
Yes, I know. And it's your little butt on the line, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's the exciting part.
I know.
That's the exciting part, is to take, you know, responsibility and accountability and play full out. And so I am just awake and on fire, I think, in some ways. I'm having one good time. And it's a lot. It's a lot to be involved in. I am present to that individuals and personalities. There are different needs and perceptions, and I have to say, I just feel so ready. And I don't feel arrogant in that. I guess when I say ready, I really feel willing.
Yeah.
I am so willing. And I have, let me say this, I'm sure a huge part of it is that I have the most amazing team known to humankind.
Oh,
a group of folks who have just gigantic, gargantuan hearts and deep, deep spirits and just amazing love and harmony and cooperation. And I have to say, this is a smart group of folks too. So I rely on them, you know, so much for so much, in this launching a new ministry.
Well, you know, mighty, mighty companions have come to your aid.
Yeah.
You have, by committing to this, you have drawn to yourself your soul family.
Yes.
And you deserve them.
Yes. Well, this is an amazing, amazing group of folks. I am honored to be in their presence. I'm honored that they heard the call. And I think some of them called me. You know, I feel that we're so in this together, and I love it. So I'm very, very grateful, Iris, for the way that this is all coming into being.
And it's all coming into being in a way that awakens and ignites the heart and soul center of light in each one.
That's the mission. That right there is the intention. know, we're clearly, we see ourselves as and are committed to being a compassionate, loving, world-class teaching and empowerment ministry. So we know that, first of all, we are a part of the Religious Science Organization, the United Centers for Spiritual Living, and there is an amazing teaching and philosophy on which we stand as our foundation. And so we are committed to being teachers and, I'm going to say in quote, kind of preachers of that, those who are willing to deliver this message in any and every circumstance. And we're committed to practicing our personal liberation so that we're letting go of all of these ideas of resistance and separation and fear so that we can be about the business of freedom and joy and love and an abundance of all things good. So this is really calling us to and into our highest selfhood.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. This is, we've placed the bar in a place where I think you'll understand if I say I have to hike my dress up to get, you know, to get up on this bar and to get over it, certainly. And it's a good thing.
Well, you know, I find that I'm continually called on to do things I, in quotes, don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, those are the best things for me because I can completely let go and let God. It's like I'm not showing up there and doing that. I have no
mm-hmm.
idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important thing for me is being willing to not know how and to just step right up.
To have the faith and the courage, I think, and to be all right with that. I think that that's what's newer for me. It's not like brand new. It's not, learning it in the moment, although I guess the developing mastery in it is this being all right with allowing it to unfold. This experience of, you know, stepping out to the edge and then being pushed off has really called forth in me a greater, I don't want to use the word comfort, but a greater sense of peace in being all right with what I don't have a conscious awareness of, and also not being really invested in that I even think I know. And really, I have been so much more present to the wisdom of God, to guidance, to me checking in, to me sitting still and asking,
yeah.
How shall I approach this? What would you have me do? You know, what's for the highest and best? That's the real question. What is for the highest and best?
Yeah. And for me, it's like, how can I give the greatest cosmic service to all life with my life? How can I glorify God with every area of my life?
Yeah, we say in our mission statement that we're here to take responsibility for transforming our thinking, loving the world, and nurturing humanity. And that's a part of that idea to me of kind of putting the bar someplace. Where we stand.
We say that again. My mind is. Say that again.
From our mission statement?
Yes.
That we're here to take responsibility for transforming our thinking, loving the world, and nurturing humanity. Yeah. And it just is so. I think it's what, not just members of Heart and Soul Center of Light, but I think humanity, that this is what we're called to do, to take responsibility for using our minds to the highest and best. Our train of thought, monitoring that in a way that it really is taking us someplace we want to go, and loving the world. You know, that's what the master teacher taught. And then nurturing humanity. And that's really just from the heart. That's about
it. Sounds like a mom thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Huh?
Yeah.
It's the place of ultimate compassion. and yes. acceptance. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, boy, you know, I want you to say that again. I want us to all write that down. Taking responsibility.
That's right.
Is the mission statement, are you talking about Science of Mind, or are you talking about Heart and Soul Center of
Heart
Light?
Heart and Soul. Heart and Soul Center of Light.
Okay, say it again.
That we are here, and I'm broadening it, all of us are here to take responsibility for transforming our thinking.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know
what? Really, you know, if we didn't say anything else. Mm-hmm.
You know what? If everyone would just do that,
mm-hmm.
nobody was nosing into anybody else's business or telling them how to do it. That'd be a full-time job right there.
Absolutely.
That'd keep you busy.
Yes.
We're here to take responsibility for, I'm still writing.
Transforming our thinking. You for transforming yours, me for transforming mine, him for transforming his, her for transforming hers. You know, it's an individual, and yet the collective impact is so huge.
Woo! Yeah. To transforming our thinking to
loving the world.
Loving the world.
And nurturing humanity.
To.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's mm-hmm. also to nurture the plants, the animals, the earth,
mm-hmm.
the, I think especially animals. I
mm-hmm.
feel like so much retribution is owed to the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, spend some time each day asking for their freedom and happiness and joy. And
very sweet.
I think that's part of it for me. Oh, that's just such a beautiful mission statement. I wanted to talk a little bit about your reception you had on your birthday and the opening of the Heart and Soul Center of Light. And you know what? When I saw that email, the invitation, and that Danny Glover was
mm-hmm.
going to be there
mm-hmm.
supporting you, that he's
yeah.
a friend of yours.
Yeah.
I felt like I've always loved him.
Oh, yeah.
He's just, there's such a sweetness about him. And I also thought, I can see he is Reverend Andriette's friend. He's her brother. He's,
yes, he is.
He's one of her team members, and that's so appropriate. And I can also see in him, in his acting, in the way he conducts his life, in his face, in his smile, in his beingness, I can see your influence, your light, you. And what he does for you is absolutely out of gratitude for the upliftment you have given his life. And I am just so grateful that you have each other and that all of us have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I, you know, Danny Glover is an amazing human being. As a social activist, as a humanitarian, as an actor, just as a brother, as a friend, as my sense is he was an amazing son. I knew, you know, I've experienced him with his father years ago before his father passed, and didn't meet him until after his mother had passed, but he's just an amazing being. And so I feel as if I have gotten way more from him than maybe I have contributed. My other dear friend, Richard Gant.
Wait a minute. Impossible.
What?
That's impossible that he contributed more to you. That is impossible for you in any relationship.
Oh, I love him dearly.
I do,
that's
too.
A very, very special being.
I do,
yeah.
too, and I get all of those things about him. You can't help it.
Mm.
Very, very, very sweet.
Very sweet indeed. And equally so, my other friend, Richard Gant, who was also, he and Richard and Danny were co-hosting. Richard Gant is also, we would recognize him from film and television and even stage and as a character actor. And he's my dear friend for, well, over 40 years and has been my big brother, you know, in that sense. And so
you know
they
how
both
old I
thought
you
together.
Were? You know how old I thought you were?
Oh, I never should have said 40 years.
I thought you were about 28.
Oh, thank you, my love. Well, I was not very wise at all at 28. Not at all. I am, I came to ministry is really like my third career. I worked for over 30 years for Pacific Bell and retired 11 years ago, I think, 11 years ago.
You're a courageous woman.
Yeah.
So you worked there all that time?
Yes. And it was good for me. It was in many ways as I left. I'd been in ministry there. I was very blessed. It was very, very good for me. I feel like now, though, I am kind of reaping all of that. This idea of sowing and reaping, I feel as if all of those years of working in the corporate environment, I worked in sales and in training, and so all of that is coming into amazing use now. And so I'm having a good time with bringing into fruition kind of all of the seeds that were planted over the past many, many years. But that Friday night was a beautiful time. Music was provided by Sharon Henderson and friends, just an amazing band and vocal group, and it was just a truly beautiful night. Brannis McKenzie, who's a wonderful vocalist as well, performed some of her original works. It was beautiful. Just a really lovely, lovely time. And both Sharon Henderson and Brannis are, you know, often providing our musical inspiration at Heart and Soul as well. So it was just, it was a lovely evening to celebrate Heart and Soul. I was saying to someone just, we're planning at Heart and Soul a Thursday morning on Thanksgiving morning at 8 a.m., we're having, you know, prayer and meditation, and I'm saying just an itty-bitty talk, you know. I'm aware that for many people this time of year is challenging. I found myself earlier today I was speaking to someone about, you know, Thanksgiving and plans, and I found myself in that moment just really missing my mother. Both of my parents have made their transition, and in that moment I was particularly missing my mother. And I know that there are folks who are, you know, missing loved ones, and it comes up around the holiday season, or for some they can be with family and it's awkward because they've made sometimes major life changes and the family hasn't yet caught up with that, so they still see them in the old way. And so we just want to offer an opportunity on Thursday morning to kind of strengthen folks' resolve to be who they are and to be compassionate and accepting and loving to both self and others. So as I was thinking about, you know, what we're up to on this Thanksgiving and how my life has changed, I find that I am so very grateful, just sitting in gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation for all of those folks, Danny and Richard and all of my friends and family who've really ushered me. In some cases, they've been my divine envoy, you know, to get to this point. And I'm grateful. And in some cases, it felt like they were pushing and shoving me along the way. And now I'm grateful for whatever it took that I would stand in the spot where I am now.
Well, you know what else is, how far you have come is one of the big miracles. And examples to people. It's like nobody can stand in front of you and go, I can't. You know, I'd be ashamed. Nobody can stand to be less than they are and be around you. You know,
I love that that's your sense. I was just earlier today, I've been invited to participate with a group who's doing Bikram yoga. And as a young person, I was very active and rather athletic and danced. And at this stage in my life, I'm just not as much. I, you know, work out maybe 3 times a week, sometimes more, but it's kind of lame working out, you know. I'm grateful to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm not working nearly as diligently as I know would really serve me. So when this opportunity for Bikram, this is just me doing true confession now, came up, I found that I was in this kind of false resistance because I've done it on my own for an extended period of time, and there was a time when I did it 5 days a week, but none of that matters now because I'm not benefiting as much as I could from living my life just, I want to say on the edge, just really stepping into, not forcing myself, but as I thought about why have I not joined the group, and I realized that I've created some sense of false resistance that I'm trying to hold on to something, and let me just not even try to talk about it as if it was valid, as if it is valid or significant, and instead for me to focus on getting past it, letting it go, releasing it, so that I can have my life work exactly the way I envision it. So that's kind of my answer, that I'm willing to meet folks where they are, and I do my best to call them out into a higher self-expression, and at the same time, I'm giving myself the same lessons, encouraging me to step out as well, because I see that this is a huge opportunity for me. I want a level of health and wellness, and I know there is that is essential that I participate in order to have it.
Well, you know, I have some thoughts about that. To me, Bikram yoga is kind of gladiator style exercise.
And I don't mean necessarily that it has to be that. I'm just looking at, you know, it's not like I'm on a program that excludes that because my program is doing all that for me. I'm just aware, I'm just looking at, is my response authentic and honest and valid?
Yeah.
And when I looked, I saw that it wasn't.
Oh, well, for me, what I've noticed is I'm willing to find lighter and easier and more joyous ways.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, I feel like I've kind of come up in the gladiator school of,
mm-hmm.
it has to be really difficult so you know you're doing something, you know.
And I want us to be clear that this is not about Bikram.
Yeah, okay.
This is not about Bikram yoga at all. This is about me and me looking at, you know, how I'm being and why I'm responding in the way I am and if I could have it be different, and I know I could. And so that's what I'm reaching for.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I want to say we advance to where it's lighter and lighter. In other words, one of the examples that comes to my mind is I was talking to Sandra Ray about I wanted to do the type of yoga that Yogananda brought to America.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name of it right now. The kind that Babaji created, and I got a tape on it, and a lot of them were, I could do about half of them, and a lot of them were just like agonizing for me. And I was saying that to Sandra Ray, and she said, Babaji and Yogananda have said that now the sort of the way people evolve is that rebirthing has replaced, oh, it's Kriya Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Kriya
mm-hmm.
Yoga. And mm-hmm. that rebirthing has replaced actually doing that kind of yoga, that it
wow.
has the same effects and is real, real easy and graceful. So I'm not saying do less or anything like that, but I'm sort of, I feel like the lesson I'm learning is to do what really, really feels good to me.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's important to honor that. And I guess, in a sense, we're really saying the same thing, Iris, in that when you know what's right for you, it's essential to do that. And I think I was saying that it's not whether I choose Bikram. It's what do I know? You know, and am I making my choice out of that? And that's where I really want to, or intend to clean up my act, so to speak.
Yeah, am I making my choice out of my highest good?
Yes.
Well, you know, I have noticed there's sort of there's a struggle about that. And it's like, it reminds me of the thing in The Course in Miracles that says, it's not that you're not capable of continual vigilance. It's not that you're not capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you don't think you're worth it.
Mm.
And I have noticed that come up with, like, the way I eat. You know, a lot of times I'll say, I know that this is the best and the highest path for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you an example. My son is a very strict vegan,
mm-hmm.
and he's always putting me on these cleanses, you know, to alkalinize everything, and everything's raw. And there's a part of me that knows that really is the highest path for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this Raw magazine the other day about these different people saying what they had gotten out of going raw, and they were so beautiful and vibrant and all of that. And I had an attack. I don't eat any kind of meat. I had an attack. I gave the cat tuna, and then I had a tuna sandwich. I didn't even like tuna before I was a vegetarian. And then I had a big cheese attack. And so I think there's a big struggle for me about, oh, and this woman said she realized she would never eat popcorn again. And I was like, popcorn, cookie, pizza, wait a minute. And I mean, I just had an attack that completely swung the other way. So, you know, it's a big job for me dealing with that stuff, and I thought you probably have some wise things to say about that.
I don't know that I do. I think that we, many of us, struggle with those kinds of choices, and I guess this is all I would say about it. I think I encourage us to look kind of behind the obvious, you know, kind of behind our taste buds, behind our, you know, resistance to being cold or hot or whatever it would be, and really look at what's driving my choices.
What is driving my choices?
Mm-hmm.
Which master am I serving? Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it. And I think it requires, we've made our lives somewhat complex now, so we might have to look more carefully than we might have had to several years ago. But right now it would just be to look and see, you know, it's almost like asking oneself, is that true? Is it really inconvenient? Is it really to this? Is it? And dig deep to see under what circumstances have I ever done this, you know, or done something similar or been that cold or that hot, and why would I? And really look at, is this a false choice? Is this a choice that's really serving me? And then proceed accordingly.
Is this a choice that's really serving me?
Yeah.
And it's also, is this serving the highest good, period?
Yeah. And I think they're the same. Because there's no way it could serve you and not serve the planet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to get in your way of what you wanted to say. So, do you have any thoughts about what you originally thought we were talking about?
You know, we had said we would, the center, Heart and Soul Center of Light, actually began. We've had 3 weeks of services. We began on November 4th with our first Wednesday service. And so we've had 3 Wednesdays, and now we've had, just yesterday we had our 3rd Sunday. And now we're to 2 services actually on Sunday. But what I've been doing there is, it's a brand new day. It's how we began with our inaugural service. And I was actually choosing something else for the 2nd week of service, for Sunday. And someone saw the program from the 1st service and said, oh, you're not still using this. And I thought, well, it's still a brand new day. And so that became the topic for the 2nd week. And then as of yesterday, it's now, it's still a brand new day and the rest is up to you. And I'm finding that the more I focus on this truth, that it is a brand new day, that every day we're given, and throughout the day, we're given the newness out of which we can co-create whatever it is we choose. And I just feel like during these times when people are coming together in very different ways during the holiday season, that we can let go of any sense of lost opportunity. We can see that immediately we have another opportunity to claim our life, to claim the day, to claim the outcome anew. So I had thought we might spend a little time talking about or focusing our attention on a brand new day. I think for, you know, our nation, for me, for the world, that we have an opportunity to choose again. And even again could be continue to choose what we've just chosen. You know, hopefully that is because it's a good thing, and if we discern it isn't, that we choose again. So it's really an extension of what we were already saying. We just hadn't, you know, kind of put it under the umbrella of the topic. So it's still a brand new day. We can still accomplish. We've been thinking about, there's some work that I do with CARES Mentoring Organization, which was begun by Susan L. Taylor, who many know as having been the editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine for decades. And now she is the founder and CEO of the CARES Mentoring Organization. And what she says is that CARES is committed to saving a generation. So I'm declaring it's a brand new day. And often when we think in terms of mentoring and our children, and sometimes we put it in the context of a lost opportunity. And I think we can reframe that and see that it's a brand new day and we can do something different. That it's not too late.
You know what else? I've been watching these holiday movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them notably is called Nothing Like the Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this family, and it's so it's like an archetype of a family and what makes people resist all coming together for the holidays. And it was hard for me to watch because everyone in the family picked on each other, and they all had a history with each other, and they were all trying to make each other the way they wanted them to be. Like, there was a daughter-in-law who was, "When are we having grandchildren? When?" And she actually gave her a christening gown for Christmas. And it's like, here, fit inside my picture of how you're supposed to be to make me happy. And that is so, so selfish and dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, and then there was all this bickering and criticizing amongst the family members, and it was just hard to watch, and it made me so grateful for my family that we don't do that with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we really love and nurture each other as we are.
Yeah.
And are grateful for each other. And I just want to encourage people, if you have any of that stuff going on, and taking responsibility for transforming your thinking is a little hard being around people who have expectations of you and how you're supposed to be. You know, they don't want you to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was just hoping you would address that a little more, choosing a new day about those things, you know?
Yes, and I think you've said it well. I think that, I don't know, at this point I'm wanting a little more to let other folks off the hook, that I know I, you know, used to think that folks were intentionally choosing to hold me in a space, but largely I think folks are just living their own lives, and sometimes it's hard for them to, I think I've seen this where, you know, there are a group of folks who maybe were smoking and drinking together, whatever they were doing, and when somebody stops smoking, you know, it's awkward for them to be in the group now. And I think that a part of that is that the folks in the group now see that it's possible that somebody broke through. You know, I think it's what we call peer pressure. Somebody broke through the barrier. And sometimes it's awkward. So I think around the family gathering or former neighbors or former coworkers, or because there's a lot of groups that are shifting now. People who've worked places for a long time and are accustomed to being a part of the family kind of structure in the workforce. And that shifted for them because possibly they've been laid off or they're just no longer a part of that for the reasons that we hear about in the news. So I think that there are a lot of places where people are feeling left out or maybe perceiving that they're no longer welcome or that it's just awkward for them. And I think that we can discern that it's a new day and that maybe it's an opportunity. For some, the new day will mean, and so I know they still like me and I can still go. It's up to me to kind of get past what has happened, and that will be true. But for somebody else, it will be to do something different, to maybe start their own gathering and invite people where they used to go to someone else's home or to a different gathering, that they can now create a new tradition. You know, in fact, on Sunday, one of the pulpit assistants was saying, you know, our tradition here at Heart and Soul, and then they acknowledged that it's a 3-week tradition. You know, somebody could be called upon to begin a tradition. And maybe it's with the neighborhood, or maybe it's with a different aspect of the family, not to leave anyone out, but to begin to build something else. And so this idea that it's a new day really leaves it wide open for what we would choose to do. How will we choose to use this new day? It's available to all of us, and we get to build it and frame it the way we choose. And ideally, the way we choose will be with more joy.
Yes.
And more love.
Yes.
To set that as the intention.
You know, I want to go back to the thing you said about quitting smoking.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I read on the internet that there are 512 addictive ingredients in cigarettes besides tobacco. It's not just tobacco and cigarettes. And that is purposely done to, you know, for return business. And I just want to encourage everyone who wants to quit smoking to just stiffen their backbone and do that for themselves. It is.
And to get help if they need it. If they need help in doing that, get help. And I think this idea of it's a new day would mean that even something they've tried before
can now work.
And so that it might work this time.
It's the new paradigm. Anything is possible.
Yes.
Anything
it's a new day.
Is possible. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
and just in, you know, in prayer and affirming just the highest and best for all the listeners, because for sure each one of us is working on something. You know, and I think kind of this life work has us seeing, so what's next for me in this earth plane? If we're still here, there's something else for us to do. And so we're just affirming the highest and best for everyone, whether it's smoking or the holidays can also be a time for people where, you know, overeating can even be encouraged. And for some, that's serious business. That's very serious business. And so, are more dangerous for some than others. So we're just, you and I, are joining together as two touching and agreeing, affirming the highest and best, that for those who need, like you had said, you know, maybe to just strengthen the backbone and stand more courageously in a decision that they've already made. But for some, it would be to make that first decision.
Yes.
And for somebody else, it would be to get help.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it is, we're simply joining together this day to affirm that not only is it possible, but that it's certain, and that the way will be revealed as to how this outcome can be accomplished. The healing for the harmony desired in the family, the whatever the experience is at the level of health and wellness, at the physical level or emotional or mental or spiritual, that there are so many resources now.
Yes. And, you know, I want to offer to people if they're in a situation like someone told me one time that she hated to go to her family because everyone got drunk and fought.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their idea of a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to offer to people, if you're in some kind of a situation like that, you can just stop and say, I am presence God in each one here. I am asking for a miracle, something that turns this around. And you will be given that. And I've experienced this firsthand, being in a somewhat horrible situation.
Yes.
And just asking for a miracle, remembering to do that.
Yes.
Good. And so we ask for miraculous holidays.
Yes, we do.
For everyone.
Yes.
Everywhere.
For everyone, everywhere. That's right. That's a blessing.
And Reverend Andrea, we have about 5 minutes. I want to be sure people know how to reach you. I tried to get on the website for the Heart and Soul Center of Light, and I couldn't bring up anything. So,
the website is heartsoulcenter.org.
heartsoulcenter.org.
And it can also be reached through Reverend Andriette, revandriette.org.
Okay.
Okay, so either way. But may I say where we meet and when we meet?
Yes, you can.
Oh, absolutely. So our services are held. Thank you so much. Our services are held at the African Children's Advanced Learning Center. And that's at 959 33rd Street. That's right at the corner of 33rd Street and, I'm sorry, and San Pablo Avenue. So it's at the border for Emeryville, West Oakland.
Okay.
And so, it's a blue building, kind of robin's egg blue right there on the corner. And we meet on Wednesdays, meditation at 6:15 and the service at 6:30. And then on Sunday, our early service, the meditation begins at 8:30 and the service at 8:45. Our mid-morning Sunday is meditation at 10:45 and the service begins at 11. And so it's a joyous celebratory time.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Being with you is always that.
Oh, thank you, my love. It's a real honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. So you have 3 minutes. Just pour out everything you want to say.
I want to say letting go leads to freedom. And since we're declaring freedom for ourselves as we end, as we begin to bring this year, 2009, to closure, we're collectively declaring freedom for the world. And that means we have to let go. We have to release that no longer serves us for sure, because it's a key step on our path. It's only by letting go of the hopes, the fears, the pain, the past, and the stories that have a hold on us that we can begin to quiet our minds and open our hearts.
Well, you really
so have I encourage us to just allow space for what is true, what really matters, and that matters most, because it is in accepting that we become free.
Mm.
So it's a brand new day, Iris.
Well, it's choosing the new paradigm.
Yeah.
That is already here and offered to us.
Yeah.
And it also means those things that have been difficult in the past can now be easy and joyous and free.
Yes.
And
there's a lightness. And part of what I think we're to be up to is to allow our heart to be lighter.
Oh, allow our hearts to be lighter.
It's the way we love. And maybe even the way we'll begin to define love and experience it. But just to call forth the lightness of heart.
Mm.
I think a greater compassion is in there.
Yes. Mm. Call forth the lightness of heart.
Yes.
Well,
it's there for us.
Yes, and I want to thank you for all the ways you are there for us.
Thank you, my heart. Thank you so much.
All my heart.
You're such a lover. I love that about you. Yeah.
Likewise, my darling.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much for the gift that your life is and for sharing it here with us. And for everything you are, give and do at Thanksgiving. And always, I am so thankful for you.
Thank you, Iris. I'm so grateful. And we appreciate all that you are doing. Just the fact that you have this program and you are calling forth, you know, the wisdom from others and sharing your own. It's a wonderful gift that you're giving.
It's an upward spiral for the greatest good of all.
Yes, it is.
And
I'm grateful.
Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And thank all of you for listening and receiving. And, you know, the secret is multiplying the good that comes into your hands and use and experience and consciousness.
Yes.
And nurturing humanity and the world out of the light you have been given. So I want to encourage everyone to do that. And
thank you.
And we'll be here with Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, on Monday again at 2:00 Pacific Standard Time. And until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. All men, all women, all children, and yeehaw!